All right, y'all. Well, I am so excited this morning. I told Ashley earlier, I don't know if it's because I haven't been up here in 8 weeks, but I am extra amped this morning, so buckle up for that, I guess. But we've been out for 6 weeks on a sabbatical. If you're not sure what a sabbatical is, let me kind of clarify that. It's just an extended time away for retreat and to refresh. And so this morning, I just simply want to start by just saying thank you. Like, thank you for enabling this for my family. Man, it was a gift. It is a gift, and serving this church is a gift. It is the gift of our lives, and we're grateful for it. So I just want to thank you from a deep, deep place. I will tell you this, going into a sabbatical, healthy and happy is a gift. And so I'm coming out rested and charged and ready to roll. But I also want you to know a little bit of like what we did over the last 6 weeks. We didn't stop going to church. We just stopped going to this church for 6 weeks. But we got to go and experience church with a different faith family in Buena Vista, Colorado. And it was a treat. It was a sweet little fellowship called Valley Fellowship. And we went there week after week for several weeks and enjoyed our time there. But that was just a small portion of what we did. Don't worry, we didn't just go to church. We did more than that. And y'all, we saw and experienced some amazing things this morning. I just want to take you on a quick journey of some of the things that we saw and did. First of all, this was our backyard. Like the house we were on was on 20 acres that backed up to a national forest, and that's our backyard in the morning. Kendall and I woke up one morning and caught the sunrise. We did lots of hiking. That's kind of a family thing for us. We hiked a cumulative 20 miles over the course of several weeks. We saw waterfalls. We saw lakes. We saw snowdrifts in the middle of July. How awesome is that? We went on road trips. We went and saw the Garden of the Gods. I got news for him. There's just one true God, and he's the one that made that, but it was incredible. We went up to the top of Pikes Peak. That was an awesome experience. We did some adventure things. We rode e-bikes for hours and hours and hours one day. Electric assist, so it does most of the work for you. Man, what a treat that was. But my favorite thing probably that we did of all the adventure things was going whitewater rafting as a family. Like, I could do it. I could do it day after day after day. It was so much fun. But y'all, of all the amazing, beautiful experiences that we had, of all the incredible things that we saw, this next picture reflects the best view that I caught in all of Colorado. Let me tell you what's going on in this picture. That's my wife, Ashley, leading our three daughters in Bible study. This is a picture that shows you disciple-making, intentional mentoring, faith development. Ashley taught our girls over the course of weeks from this book called Lord, Teach Me to Study the Bible in 28 Days. It was a book that was formative for her when she was their age. It's how she learned as a disciple to learn the Word of God for herself, and she used that over weeks, day after day after day, teaching and instructing our girls in how to study the Bible for themselves. So when you look at this picture, like, I genuinely mean it. That's my favorite view. This is disciple making. This is faith development. This is intentional mentoring. And my guess is, like, whatever you call that process, when you look at this picture, I mean, you think, I wish Ashley would teach me how to study the Bible, right? And in 70-degree weather. I wish Ashley would mentor me. I wish someone, anyone would mentor me, would guide me, would grow me, would help lead me in faith development. I wish someone would disciple me as a follower of Christ. And that's really what we're talking about this morning. And I'm curious this morning as we jump into this message that I'm calling Stop Going to Church. Like, how many of you, that you just keep going to church, but you feel like your growth is stuck and stalled? Like, if you're honest, you feel like you're not going anywhere and you're going nowhere fast. You want to grow, like you desire to grow. You know you need to grow up as a follower of Jesus. Maybe you go, man, I've been a big baby for a long time, and it's time for me to get some maturity. You're certain, though, as you think about developing faith in Jesus, man, that you need help, that you need that guidance, that you need someone to walk with you in this. And I want you to be so encouraged from the beginning this morning. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. But I want to talk to a different group of people, because maybe not everybody is as eager for faith development. Maybe some of you would go, you know what? I keep going to church, but if I'm honest with you this morning, I'm really not all that concerned about growing. I'm just kind of more focused on going. I'm not so concerned about growing. I'm not really all that interested in developing my faith, if I'm honest. And if that's you this morning, man, I hope and pray that you're challenged. I pray that the Spirit shifts your perspective. And I hope that the Lord inspires the next step in your life today. Because what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at a very short and simple passage from the Bible. And as we look at these two verses, we're going to see in it, like, where we are, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. Where we are, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. So turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2 this morning. Colossians 2 is in the New Testament. The Bible is a really, really thin book of the Bible, so I'd encourage you to go to the table of contents. That'll tell you exactly what page to be on. If you don't have a Bible this morning, we'll put the words on the screen. And also, man, go grab a free copy of the Bible from our Welcome Center this morning before you leave the building. So we're going to look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and I hope that these verses inform this idea of stop going to church and start being the church. Yeah, it was really funny. I was working on this message in my last week of sabbatical from home and had all my papers spread across the kitchen table, and one of my daughters saw on a piece of paper that I was preaching a message called Stop Going to Church. And she goes, Dad, that's a terrible idea. Like, let me help you see what you're not seeing. Like, we want people to go to church. It's like, hey, just come, you know, come to church and you'll see for yourself where I'm going. But what I'm doing in this, what we're talking about in this, truly is a desire for you, for all of us, to stop just going here. Let's not just go to church. Let's grow in church. And then let's go, be sent out into the world to live lives of purpose, on purpose for Jesus. And that's our heart's desire. Not that more people would go here, but that more people would grow here, go and grow so that we can be sent. And you'll see that in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. It says this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, this is obviously talking to followers of Christ or Christians, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And we're going to start looking just with verse 6. And what you see in verse 6 is that it's really about discovering faith in Jesus. In the seat back in front of you, man, there's our disciple-making pathway, your personal growth card. I would encourage you, grab that, learn from that, and see this very first phase. It goes discover, then develop, then deploy. And verse 6 talks about the discover phase. It says, just as you received, just as you have received Jesus as Lord. And when we receive Christ as Lord, we come to this point where we're at the end of ourselves and we recognize our need, our deep need for a Savior, for a Lord. Not just someone to rescue us, but for someone to lead us. That's what it is to receive Christ, and that's a work of grace. And so ultimately, verse 6 is this reference to the doctrine of justification by faith. That's kind of the $5 theological word to describe what's going on here. Justification by faith, and that's at the very core of our beliefs, that we are saved, rescued by grace through faith. We are justified in Christ and Christ alone. And so what God does is He takes the guilty sinner and He makes them completely new, not by requiring them to clean themselves up, but by cleaning them up Himself. It's a gift of grace. It's the reason why we sang earlier, man, my chains are gone. I've been set free. Christ has freed us from sin and ourselves and from the penalty, which is death. We've been made new by the work of Jesus. That's what we've received in the cross. That's what we've received in the empty tomb. That's what we receive in grace. And y'all, ultimately, like, this is the gospel. This is the good news. The good news is that Christ has done for us the things that we could not do for ourselves. And when we understand, when we discover that good news, the lengths, the depths, the heights, the widths of the love of God in Christ, man, it changes us. It transforms us. But hear me say this, y'all, that is not the end, right? Man, that's just where it begins. And if you really understand grace, the truth is you could stop there. But why would you? And go further, go deeper, go longer, and let's bring as many people with us into the depths of the love of God. Why would you ever stop there? And verse 6 says this, as you receive Jesus Christ, man, continue to live in Him. And as you look at that word continue, I want you to see that what happens here is the verses begin to build on themselves. And what happens is we make the shift from the first phase of discovery into the second phase of development. It goes from discovering faith in Jesus to developing faith in Jesus. And developing faith in Jesus is a reference to the doctrine of sanctification. That's the $5 theological word to describe what's happening next. Like, to sanctify something is to set it apart for God's use and for God's purposes. So ultimately what happens is God's grace changes and transforms the Christ follower, and then He sets us apart and says, you are now mine. And I'm going to use you, and I'm going to grow you. And all of your life's purpose is now about my plans and my purpose, and I'm going to work that out in your life at my own pace. And so to sanctify something is to set it apart with purpose. And what this does is, man, this speaks to our union with Christ because we have been united with Christ. We have been changed, and we will continue to change. It's just the beginning. There's so much more for us in Christ. Keep going further and deeper. And we go back to Colossians 2, and as it says, continue to live your lives in him. Verse 7 then tells us even more. To be rooted and built up in him, to be strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Go back through that word by word, rooted. Like, here's the mental picture. Well established and firmly founded, right? We want that. Built up. Like, there's this firm foundation, and then we're just stacking floor on top of floor on top of floor on top of floor. There's this perpetual growth and development that's happening in our lives. And then strengthened, right? Going stronger and stronger and stronger, more and more solid in the faith. And then the natural result of all of this is that we just overflow with thankfulness because of the grace of God has changed us and is changing us. We have been justified and we are being sanctified, and we live for the promise, knowing that our hope is that we will be glorified in Christ for all eternity. That's what it is to be rooted, to be built up, and to be strengthened. And you look at that and you hear that and you go, man, I want that. But I'm stalled. I'm stuck. I'm unsure of how to grow, unsure of where to start. I'm unsure of what's next. I know I've discovered faith in Jesus, but I'm learning, man, that I want to develop faith in Jesus, and I need help. I want you to understand, faith development is active. Man, it is not passive. It is not going to happen on accident. It's not automatically just going to happen because you gather week after week or month after month in these rows in this space. Putting yourself in this space is a really good start, but it's not automatically just going to happen because you go to church. And the truth is that sanctification and justification, they have so many similarities, man. They are ultimately a work of God's grace in our life. But don't make this mistake. Maturing in Christ, it requires discipline, and it requires discipling. You will put effort and intentionality and focus and devotion into developing faith. I want you to write this down in your notes this morning, right? Christian faith is established on grace. Like, we got to preach that. That is the center of the truth. And it's rooted in rhythms, disciplines, practices, experience as we live in this relationship with God. It's established and sustained by grace. It's grown, developed, strengthened with discipline and with the rhythms of discipleship. There's three kinds of people when it comes to developing faith in Jesus. I want to describe it to you this way. How many of you love fire? Anybody? No? Like, I love fire. In fact, I enjoyed the fact that the temperature at night in Colorado was in the 50s because I was building lots of fires. Like, you're going, I don't want to talk about fire. It's 100 degrees out there. Right? I'm in for fire, any temperature, anytime, anywhere. I love fire. So I want you to think about a campfire, right? Everybody go with me this morning to a cooler place where you need a campfire, and we got a campfire crackling in the middle of the room, all right? There's three kinds of people when it comes to campfire. There's this person, you know him. Oh, the sit back and relax kind of person, right? They got their cold beverage, and they're just gonna sit, enjoy its warmth, and just watch it. Watch it work. Watch it dwindle. Watch it dissipate. And ultimately go away. Right? You know the sit back kind of person. All right? The second kind of person you might see yourself when it comes to fires. It's the butane person. Right? The lighter fluid. Right? They love the flash. They love the fun. They love the spark. They don't mind pouring a little gas on it. Pouring gas on it, watching it flare. Pouring gas, watching it flare. It's a lot of fun. They enjoy playing with the fire. But at the end of the day, it doesn't sustain, right? It's good, but it doesn't sustain. And there's the third type of person. When it comes to fires, this is me. In fact, another day, another story, I'll tell you how I won my wife with my fire-making abilities back when we were dating. This is the builder. This is the Boy Scout type. This is absolutely me when it comes to building fires. I will restlessly, relentlessly, constantly go out into the forest and collect more and more sticks. I can't stop. I can't help it. I love fire. I will feed it and feed it and feed it and feed it. I will go back and I will find more and I will find the right size and I will find the right time. And I will work that fire and I will work it well. All right, anybody else? You're the fire building, fire loving type. All right, those are the three types of people when it comes to fire. But what on earth does this have to do with developing faith in Christ? Here's the deal, y'all. I nurture a flame. Why? Because I love fire. Like it's a committed relationship I have with fire. It's a passionate relationship that I have with fire. And so let me make this point for you this morning. Let me show you these three profiles and make the parallel here. This is the same when it comes to developing faith in Jesus. Man, some are the sit back type, like not actively involved. It's passive, and I'm just going to sit in church, maybe weekly, maybe monthly, maybe not at all, but I'm just going to hope that maybe spiritual growth will just fall on my lap. Listen to me. They're not invested in fanning the flames of the fire of relationship with God. Then there's the butane type, the propane, the lighter fluid type. Don't do propane. Do butane. Like a little splash, a little flash, a little heat. Like, okay, I'll be there Sunday. I'll be there next Sunday. I'll be there another Sunday. You're going to live from worship service to worship service, but it's a Sunday type thing. And Monday through Saturday, man, you're really not all that invested. You're not all that devoted. You're not doing the kinds of things that nurture the flame. Make sense? And then there's the third type. The one that's going to invest themselves, devote themselves, commit themselves. Not because they have to. It's not a duty. It's not an obligation. Like it's motivated and it's birthed out of passion. I love Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to grow in Jesus. I want to invest in Jesus. If it's not already obvious, let me be really clear. I'm calling all of us to be the nurturers, the cultivators, the builders. The ones that invest our lives in growing the flame of faith in our hearts. For us to become intentional growers that stop going to church and start growing at church. And then we go out being sent to live on purpose and on mission for Christ. To feed and to nurture faith and to be intentional about faith development and to see our affections change, to see our priorities change, and to see faith development become so much more important in our lives. And then other things begin to shake out and maybe shake off. Maybe some of the things that are currently priorities go away because we are prioritizing Christ. And developing our faith in Christ. So let me make sure we connect the dots this morning. And the way for me to do that is to ask you some personal questions. First, let's go back to where we started. Where are you? I can't answer that for you. Some of you I could, but you don't want me to. Where are you? Have you discovered faith in Jesus? Like, are you a disciple? Are you a committed follower of Christ? Have you discovered the rich reality of the gospel of Christ? Has it transformed and changed your hearts? Is it shifting your affections? Have you discovered how good God is? If not, man, that's where you start. You jump off into the gospel, and then we live in the gospel. Are you still in the discovery phase, or are you moving into the develop phase? Are you a big baby? Is it time to grow up? Is it time to take the bull by the horns and to do the active part of sanctification? Like when you think about these three things in faith development, are you the sit back, are you the flashy fun, or are you the nurturer, builder, cultivator? Where are you? Because Colossians 2:7 tells us where we're going, right? This is where we're all going. Continue your lives in Christ, rooted and built up in Christ. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. That's a picture of where we are going together in Christ. So how do we get there? What's the next step? What do we do? What are we becoming as we are formed into the likeness and the image of our Savior? What are the practices and the rhythms that will help develop this kind of maturity in us? So I told you earlier that help was on the way. It's no coincidence that this experience that we're bringing to you is called Rooted. It's called Rooted, connecting with God, the church, and with your purpose. And what we're going to do as we bring Rooted to Brazos Point is we're going to put this tool in your tool belt. It is a discipleship tool. It's not the only one. It's maybe not even the best one, but it is the one that we are going all in on because we have seen it, we have experienced it, and we believe in it. We believe it's best for us and for our church. And ultimately what Rooted does is it introduces you to seven rhythms for faith formation. I want you to see these really, really quickly just to create an appetite and an interest in your heart and mind. The seven rhythms of faith formation in Rooted are daily devotion, prayer, repentance, sacrificial generosity, serving the community, sharing your story, and worship. And my guess is that you are like me and that you've got some next steps to take in some of those spaces and directions. That your next step in regards to development, maturity lies in some of those spaces. You have questions about what you do. And Rooted will help you see not just the things that you do, but also what you're becoming as you're rooted in Christ. It's an invitation, y'all, into an experience to stop going to church, to start being the church, not just to go, but to grow, and then to be sent out. It's an opportunity for those of you who are looking for something, looking for more of God, looking for community, looking for connection, looking for a model, a guide, looking for something to start, to catalyze, to catapult you into maturity and growth. It's a catalyst for change. It's designed on purpose to stretch you. I'll be honest from the beginning, it will stretch you. It will challenge you. Step in and step up to be challenged and to grow up. And it is BPF's next step with God. I hope it's yours. It is our church's. And this fall, we're going all in. We've got 80-something percent of our small groups that are going to go through this. We've got opportunities to connect disconnected people that are not yet in group and in community. We're going to connect you here at the building into the Rooted experience. We are going all in, and I can't tell you how expectant I am that God is going to do big things in our church and in your life and in my life because we're going all in on this. But I think this morning, the best way for me to introduce this to you is to introduce you to some people that have experienced the Rooted journey themselves. Emily and Jason, you guys coming up. Y'all welcome them this morning. All right, Emily and Jason are my friends, and they are in my small group. So be careful. If you're in my small group, we'll put you up here. All right, so what I did this past spring was I piloted Rooted with my small group. So Emily and Jason have been through this experience with me, and we had a good experience. But I want you to hear from them, because they're real people, right, about our experience with Rooted together. Guys, as we got into Rooted as a small group, were you eager, were you nervous, or were you both?
So I remember when Rooted was first introduced in church on a Sunday morning, and it was talk about an opportunity to participate in if you weren't in a small group. And immediately I went like, well, I'm in a small group, so I'm not going to get to do that. So I was super excited. And when on a Monday night at small group, you threw out the option for us to do it, I was all in. And absolutely eager and excited, and nerves came later, but I absolutely wanted to do it for sure.
Yeah, so my story is very similar. Eager, really looking forward to building a solid foundation as a Christ follower. And then I read the table of contents and started getting nervous and sweating because I knew exactly the conversations we were going to have as a group. But all in all, it was a great experience.
Yeah, and I appreciate that honesty, Jason, because it will stretch you, right? There's confession, there's repentance.
Absolutely.
There's some challenge involved. Well, guys, from a really big picture perspective, knowing, you know, what Rooted is intended to do, what it's designed for, like, would you speak to just what is the value of this experience for you as individuals and for you as a couple? Because that was a sweet experience for us to go through it as couples.
Yeah, absolutely. As Randy mentioned earlier, it's really a tool, right? It's a toolbox. It taught me who God is. How he's alongside us every day. Should have took more estrogen blocker this morning. How he fights alongside us in those battles. She hears me say that a lot, but anyway.
So do I.
he's fighting with us. It talks about the six elements of God's armor, what those look like and how you can use those. Because we can't do it alone, right? We have to have him by our side.
Yeah, awesome.
So as a couple, it was really good. It was something that brought us together. We sat down every week. We took time. We made sure our daughter went to bed early. And we really connected. And we had not done that since we had done some couples counseling. And that's really big because Jason says that with counseling, as soon as they pointed out something I needed to work on, we never went back. So.
And you kept going for it?
Yeah. It was good. And I couldn't run away.
It's a different kind of counseling.
Well, and I could tell y'all week over week, I could see that you were invested and we could watch it happening. That was super exciting. So let's talk detail. Like, let's get in the trenches of Rooted and all that it's designed to do. It's about connecting us with God. You've already touched on that. It's about connecting us with the church and with our purpose. Like, did you see it deliver on those things that it's designed to do?
Oh, absolutely. When we started this, I was at home recovering from a major surgery. And so I got to have a lot of alone time to really dig in, take my time to read. I was, when Jason and I started our relationship and our marriage, I was super hesitant with church. Not about, like I said, I was a Christ follower. I knew I believed in God, but just because of how I grew up, the type of experiences I had, very fundamentalist, it was not something that I was comfortable. And Rooted really helped me to unlearn everything that I had experienced as a young child and teenager. And so it was just something really good to help break those walls down.
Awesome.
Yeah, so connecting with God, praying more. It really, and Randy's brought this up at church before, using the acronym PRAY, where you praise, repent, ask, and yield. So in these exercises, you'll learn that you'll write out a prayer at the end of each I guess, kind of exercise. And so really learning to navigate that and connecting with God more. When it comes to connecting with the church and our purpose, it's really kind of encouraged us to help out here at Brazos Point. So we'll be helping with the junior high student ministry on Sunday mornings.
I love it, man. I love that next steps are coming out of it. I love the practical things of like what to do, how to pray, are things that you've been taught. And I think that's where a lot of people live when it comes to faith formation. It's like, teach me what to do. But the reality is faith formation is as much about what we're becoming as it is about what we're doing. So like, how has Rooted changed who you are?
So I was that one that wanted the to-do list to like, this is how to do it, you know? And something that was huge for me was learning, like, you can't earn your way in, so you can't earn your way out of God's love. Like I said early on, in our marriage and our relationship, it was a challenge. Jason and I grew up in two totally different denominations, and so there was sort of this resistance there that we had to learn for our family. And at that point, it opened up communication for us, and it allowed, I started seeing Jason truly lead our family and be open and teach our daughter, who's 7, that just how to love God and to be open and just share that we're still learning, we're growing. And that was really, that was great. That was a wonderful experience.
Hmm. Yeah, I want to first say, I wanted to show some humility because I'm a rookie in this level. Rookie to pro. I'm still learning a lot. I look forward to the Sunday mornings with student ministry, and I'm hoping that they teach me a lot too. I'm sure they will. But as far as changing who I am, it's a slow process, but every day you take a little bit of bite out of that big elephant. Putting God first, putting Emily and Whitley first.
He's sensitive.
More estrogen block. Yeah, so here's a secret. I'm a sensitive guy.
Me too.
I see more patience in them, especially this time of year. With school going back, Emily's a second grade teacher, and she can get a little feisty this time of year. Rightfully so, but takes patience with that. There's a segment in the book that talks about money, and it's something that I grew up around and all that, and so I took it more important. But what I wanted to kind of get out today was it's God's money, right? And that's the message that the book talks about. So when you look at it that perspective, start becoming a little more disciplined financially. There is one thing that I believe is God sent, and that's oat milk cream pie ice cream. Maybe. And I think that he wants me to spend the $7 on that. So we're going to continue to do that and spend his money on the oat milk cream pie.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Guys, I told them when I asked them to do this, I was like, y'all are going to be so authentic and winsome. I think they have been, right? Man, I love you guys. And
we love you too. We love y'all.
Watching you grow and take next steps is a massive encouragement to me. So God bless you for that. Y'all thank them again, church.
Thank y'all.
Can you see why I'm excited? Are you excited? Guys, this is our next step. It's our collective next step, and I hope that it's your next step. Small groups. I'd love to see 100% go in. If you've got some reasons why, maybe you've already been through it, maybe you've been through something, so I get it, but let's get closer. Like, put pressure on your small group leader. You have my permission to do that. Let's do this. Let's go all in on this, and let's see what God will do. Let's see what God will do in us, and let's long for him. Let's be desperate for more of him. Let's ask for more, and let's see him do more. If you're disconnected, if you're not yet in small group community, man, we've got you covered. Joseph and his team have prepared. They're going to have a Thursday night rooted experience where you can come up here. You can connect with that this morning through the QR code, through the Next Step Center, through the BPF app under signups. Take your next step, stand up, grow up, and let's move together as we cultivate the flame. Let's lean in to Christ together, church. Let's lean in. I just want to close out this morning with prayer. Let's pray. God, this morning, we have experienced your presence and your faithfulness. You are trustworthy and true. You are our rock and our foundation. Your gospel is greater than we understand. And in Christ, we have found more than enough. God, if there's any that haven't received the hope that we have in Christ, I pray that today would be the day that you would transform their hearts, that their hearts would move and surrender, and that they would yield themselves in complete faith and trust to you, and that your grace would do only what you can do. God, I pray that you would use this tool to develop this church. God, you have shown us what we need. We want and need you. And we believe that you will be faithful to answer these prayers. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.